it's up to you and me to shine a guiding light and lead the way. United by our cause, we have the power to pursue what we believe. We'll achieve the realization of our dreams.
Hello, I'm Vaughan Bennison. Welcome to this edition of New Horizons. Today we speak to another returning guest to New Horizons, Lauren Henley, who's recently rejoined Blind Citizens Australia after an absence of about 2 years or so. Just for those people who may not remember you, why don't you start by telling us a bit about yourself?
I feel like I've been around the organisation for quite a while in various roles. So I first became an active BCA member back in 2008. I was the first president of the Newcastle Hunter branch of BCA. And then I eventually got a paid position with BCA in 2010 as the New South Wales Advocacy and Information Officer. From there, I eventually moved into the role of National Policy Officer, and that was a couple of years ago now. So I've been away for the last couple of years working at the Australian Human Rights Commission, and I've just come back on staff recently and really glad to be back.
And you're starting a new role, as I understand it. Do you want to go into some detail about that?
Yes, so there was a requirement for a bit more support around policy and advocacy, especially with some of the campaign work we have. But because our operations manager, John Devine, had to unfortunately leave quite suddenly, there was also a requirement for some operational management in the office. So I've come in to take care of some of those requirements between now and Christmas. So it's a bit of this, bit of that. My actual title is Policy and Administration Coordinator, so offering a bit of support in terms of meeting deadlines with our reporting, and also just general policy advocacy, making sure that I offer our advocacy and policy officer, Ricky Chaplin, some support with writing submissions and just adding a bit more detail here and there, and whatever needs to be done generally around the office between now and Christmas.
Well, let's go into some detail about some of those policies. We heard from you at the Victorian State Forum in early November. You were specifically talking about a couple of things, but one of them was audio description. What's the latest on that?
Yeah, so we're going to have quite a busy few months between now and Christmas in the audio description space. So I've got a few court hearings coming up. One of them is mine. I will be appearing in court on Tuesday, the 29th of November, and my case is actually against the Australian Human Rights Commission because I lodged a complaint with the Human Rights Commission, and the complaint was against the federal government for their failure to include minimum requirements for audio description in the Broadcasting Services Act, as they've already done for captioning. The Australian Human Rights Commission basically made a decision that they weren't going to continue investigating the complaint because they felt that it was misconstrued or lacking in substance. And my solicitor, who has been supporting me from the Public Interest Advocacy Centre, didn't feel that that was an appropriate decision. And so we're basically pursuing the matter in court to get a determination on whether or not the Australian Human Rights Commission dealt with that complaint in the way it was supposed to under the law.
We have minimum requirements for captioning in Australia, and there are minimum requirements for audio description in other countries such as New Zealand and the UK, Canada, and even the US, I believe. What are those requirements?
What we've basically seen happen in other English-speaking countries is when audio description is introduced into legislation, it's introduced as what's called incremental expansion. So it might start off as something really small, say, for example, 4 or 10 hours of content a week, and then gradually over a period of years, like there'll be an increase in the amount of hours delivered each year until you get to an amount of content that would be considered satisfactory. And I think that's one of the key issues in this debate. The blind and vision impaired community has been quite understanding, I think, over the past 6 or so years we've been campaigning for audio description on television, in that we don't expect to have everything audio described tomorrow because it's not feasible to ask for that to happen. There are a lot of technical issues. So all we want is a commitment to a pathway for a permanent audio description service, and the government's just not coming to the party at all.
That's really staggering, isn't it? Because Australia is a country that considers itself at the forefront of technological development, and Australia likes to consider its people as early adopters of technology, and yet we're lagging behind in such a key area of media access for people with all sorts of disabilities, really, not just blindness, because audio description can have an impact on people with autism and people with other disabilities. That's really sad.
It is really sad, and I always go back to this key point of my best friend is fully sighted and she won't buy a DVD unless it's got audio description because she's, you know, she has a child, she's cooking, she's cleaning, doing whatever, and she doesn't always have time to be in the room and look at the screen, so she thinks it's a fantastic thing.
It's astonishing that we're at the point where the Australian Human Rights Commission is saying we're not going to push this, and, you know, I wish you luck with that hearing. There's another one coming up, isn't there, specifically regarding the ABC?
Yes, so back in, I think, oh, don't quote me on this because it's been a few years since I have been at BCA, I think it was 2014, but Blind Citizens Australia lodged a number of complaints with the Australian Human Rights Commission again, but these complaints were against the Australian Broadcasting Corporation, so the ABC, basically saying that their failure to implement a permanent audio description service amounted to discrimination under the Disability Discrimination Act. And those complaints went to conciliation, which means basically the staff from Blind Citizens Australia and some of those original complainants sat down in a room with a conciliator from the Human Rights Commission and with representatives from the ABC to see if we could reach an agreement. But we couldn't resolve the complaints through that process, and so they were terminated. And what happens after the complaints have been terminated is you've got 60 days in which you can file the matter in the federal court. But BCA as an organisation wasn't actually able to take the matter to court. We needed to rely on one of the individual complainants to come forward and say that they were happy to proceed with the court hearing. And one person did, so that's Suzanne Hudson from our Tweed Valley branch. And her court appearance will be on the 12th, 13th and 14th of December in Sydney.
And I think that's going to be a really key one as well, because we know that the ABC has had a couple of trials of audio description now, one on free-to-air television in 2012, and of course from April of 2015 to July of 2016 we had the trial on iView. Both of these trials were generally considered successful by the blind and vision impaired community. Do we have an understanding of why the ABC has failed to follow up on this?
Well, I think the key element in this debate is the fact that the two trials the ABC has actually undertaken, they didn't undertake those trials on their own merits. They were asked to conduct those trials by the Department of Communications. And it seems quite clear that the ABC feels that their television service is a visual service and they don't feel that it amounts to disability discrimination, the fact that they aren't making it accessible to people who are blind or vision impaired. So I think it comes down to the fact that they were asked to deliver these trials, and I'm not sure they would have done it off their own back unless the Department of Communications had actually asked them to.
That's really staggering that they say that. You know, you could equally say that magazines are a visual medium too, and yet they're required to be presented in alternate formats. Letters are required to be presented in alternate formats. Bills are required to be presented in alternate formats for people with print disabilities.
Absolutely, and to say it's a visual service, I would challenge them to turn the sound off and see what sort of an experience it is, because I'd say
absolutely,
that would change it quite a bit.
Absolutely right. Turn the sound off and rely on captions while you're not facing the TV screen and see how far you get with that.
Absolutely right.
Now, aside from the audio description, you're also dealing with issues relating to the Commonwealth Bank's Albert touchscreen FPOS terminal. I saw one of those the other day, and the mind boggles as to, I mean, why you would choose a device like this in the first place. But what's happening with that?
Yeah, so it's a similar process to the one we went through with the original complaints against the ABC in relation to audio description. And we've had a number of Blind Citizens Australia members come forward, and they've had dealings with these devices. And it's a terrible situation, because we're having people being placed in the situation of having to provide their PIN to a customer service representative just so that they can pay for their meal or their groceries or whatever it is they need to pay for at the time. And it's a complete breach of privacy. So it's not just a human rights issue, it's actually, you know, a fundamental question of privacy. And so we're taking that matter to the Human Rights Commission. There's a conciliation conference happening in Sydney in relation to that on the 25th of January. So our advocacy and policy officer, Ricky Chaplin, will be representing BCA at that conciliation conference. But we're also mindful of the need to be a little bit more proactive in this space and not just deal with these issues as they arise. So we'll be looking to have conversations with the three other major banks over the coming months, so Westpac, ANZ and NAB, just to hear them out in terms of what they're planning in regards to touchscreen terminals, if anything, so we can try and get in early before we end up with a similar issue to the one we've seen with Albert. And we're also looking at the Standards Australia process to see if there might be any way we can look at one of their technical committees establishing a new standard for touchscreen payment terminals.
Perhaps a solution or partial solution to this might be that if a blind person does come up against an Albert terminal, that the Commonwealth Bank will undertake to pay what the blind person would have paid if the system was accessible.
Sounds perfectly fair to me. And I was actually at a restaurant last night with a friend and was in the position of having to give her my PIN because I couldn't complete the transaction. It was over $100, which means you can't use PayPass. And I didn't have another option.
It's embarrassing, and it's not the first time we've come across this. I myself made a complaint over 20 years ago to National Cash Registers, which was a division, I think, of Westpac, about their heat sensing FPOS machines that were completely unusable to blind people. And I noticed that a lot of other people did at that same time, and they subsequently disappeared.
Yeah, and look, it's so disappointing that we've come so far in terms of having really solid legislation in place that says we have a right to be able to access these sorts of things, and yet people still aren't thinking about accessibility when they're designing these systems. And to go back and retrofit for accessibility after the fact, it's just all a bit, well, it's harder than it needs to be. It's more costly than it needs to be. It's in no one's best interest.
And the interesting thing is that if you can manage to do it using touchscreens at the Apple Store, I don't see why it's a problem with the Commonwealth Bank's access terminals. There are so many ways around these issues these days.
Absolutely. So it's one that's definitely on the top of our priority list, and it's a bit of a watch this space at the moment. So we'll know more after the conciliation conference at the end of January.
And of course, at the AGM on Saturday, the people who were elected to the National Policy Council were announced, and good luck to those people. Lauren, that's going to be an interesting development for BCA, isn't it?
Yeah, look, I think it's really critical. I have been involved with what was formerly the National Policy and Development Council over the years, and I think it's really critical that we have a way of coming back to representatives within the membership who can give us some really good advice on our policies. And when we're writing things like submissions, making sure that we have that committee that we can go back to and get feedback and input. But I think one of the critical roles the representatives on the National Policy Council will have is going back to the people in their state or territory and trying to get feedback from them as well, because we really need to be getting back to our role as a grassroots advocacy organisation. We're driven by the membership, and we need to make sure that any policies or position statements or submissions we're putting forward actually reflect the needs and views of the wider membership.
Well, Lauren Henley, I wish you luck with your role, and no doubt we will be talking to you again. But for now, thanks for joining us on New Horizons.
Thanks so much, Vaughn. It's great to be back at BCA.
Lauren Henley from Blind Citizens Australia talking about some of the issues facing us at the moment. As we talked about in that interview, the National Policy Council was elected at the recent AGM, and hopefully we'll find out more information about that in the coming weeks, and hopefully we'll be able to speak to some of the people who have been elected to that council. In the meantime, if you'd like to donate to Blind Citizens Australia, you can do so. There's a link on the website that'll tell you all about how to do it, and you can do it in a number of different ways. If you can't access the website, then ring the office, 1800 033 660, 1800 033 660, and they'll be able to help you with that and any other information you require. New Horizons is published each week on behalf of Blind Citizens Australia, and it can be heard on RPH stations across Australia and on the Community Radio Network as well. It's available as a podcast if you'd like to download it, and if you'd like to find out how you can listen to it on Vision Australia's iAccess service, then I did a program on that some months ago, so you can go back and look at that on the Blind Citizens Australia website. I'm Vaughan Bennison. It's been a pleasure to have your company on this program. Take care until next week.
We'll achieve the realization of
dreams of our dreams.